Eligibility by David L. Bliss. A world of interconnected systems stands on the brink of unforeseen vulnerability. This narrative examines a reality where human civilization relies on highly synchronized yet fragile infrastructure. When an unexplained orbital event triggers a global alert, individual systems across the planet react with impossible rhythmic coordination. This isn't a mechanical failure, but a demonstration of dependency. The modern world has become so optimized that it lacks the necessary redundancy to survive a coordinated challenge to its information integrity. Final takeaway. The story explores the tension between efficiency and resilience, suggesting that the very systems we trust to protect us have become our greatest points of failure, turning the world into a fragile, tightly coupled web of dependencies. Chapter 1, Yield Point. Ethan Keller had already reopened the starter home listing 3 times that morning before admitting he was no longer looking at it, ironically. Most of the listings were impossible. Tiny houses with collapsing roofs somehow cost more than his parents' entire home had 20 years earlier. Still, he kept scrolling. Eventually, the listing shifted from possible someday to fixer-uppers with warped floors and kitchens that looked legally questionable. Oddly, those interested him more. He could picture working on a place like that, new paint, replacing cabinets, building something instead of just renting space inside it. One listing in particular caught his eye. The price sat barely inside the range he considered survivable, and despite the crooked porch railing and aggressively ugly wallpaper, it looked like a home. 2 bedrooms, tiny kitchen, questionable commute. The backyard was little more than a fenced rectangle of uneven grass. Mortgage payments, property taxes, commute time. For a moment, he found himself picturing Eliza Moreno out there anyway. Late afternoon sunlight, a dog tearing across half-dead grass. Eliza yelling because he'd gotten distracted fixing something that wasn't broken. Normal things, future things. You have a weird look on your face. Ethan glanced up. Eliza stood in the kitchen doorway, still tying her hair back, watching him over the rim of his coffee mug she had apparently stolen without permission. What look? The dangerous one. I don't have a dangerous look. You do when you start mentally reorganizing your entire life. The phone buzzed against the kitchen counter. Then again, that finally pulled Ethan's attention away from the listing. That's new. Ethan picked up the phone. A bright red banner stretched across the top of the screen. Emergency alert, national security notice. Eliza lowered the mug. What is it? I don't know. His thumb tapped the notification. The alert opened with a harsh electronic tone. Unidentified objects detected entering Earth orbit. Await further instructions. The television on the wall flickered as the morning news broadcast cut out mid-sentence. The screen shifted to a blue emergency frame. A calm voice spoke over the image. This is a national information advisory. Government monitoring agencies are currently verifying multiple unidentified objects entering near Earth orbit. Eliza handed him his coffee back without looking away from the screen. Well, she said quietly, that feels bad. The anchor's voice remained carefully neutral. Authorities stress this is an early observation and confirmation is ongoing. A crawl of text rolled along the bottom of the screen. Multiple international tracking networks report anomalies. His phone buzzed again. Alerts multiplied across the screen. A satellite image appeared. Black space. Small blurry white shapes drifting across it. 1, then 3, then a dozen. Eliza stepped closer to the television. That's not debris. Ethan looked over. Look at the spacing, she said. They're grouping. He watched the timing markers in the corner of the screen. Each dot appeared a fraction of a second after the last. Too precise to be random. A message appeared in his engineering channel. Is everyone seeing this? Another reply came immediately. Yeah, it's everywhere. A third message followed. Orbital telemetry feeds are lighting up. Multiple networks confirming. Ethan looked back at the television. More markers appeared across the radar display. Too fast now to count individually. The analyst leaned forward, trying very hard to sound calm. We want to emphasize that this information is still being verified. Another voice off camera asked the question everyone was thinking. Could these be debris? The analyst hesitated. Possibly. The pause lasted just a little too long. Outside on the street, someone shouted. Ethan moved to the window. People were stopping along the sidewalk below, not looking up, looking down at glowing screens while apartment doors opened up and down the block, waiting for someone to explain what they were seeing. The television audio dropped briefly while producers switched feeds. Then the anchor returned. Global aviation authorities are reviewing flight paths as a precaution. Eliza frowned. Why would they do that? Ethan glanced at his laptop. A new update flashed across one of the news feeds. FAA reviewing transatlantic corridors. They just cleared the North Atlantic corridor. Eliza looked at him. For what? You didn't clear that much airspace unless somebody thought something might actually arrive. Behind the anchor, the radar display continued to fill with blinking points of light. The television banner changed again. International monitoring networks expanding tracking operations. Eliza stepped closer to him, not touching him, but close enough that her shoulder brushed his arm. Ethan looked down at her hand. She had wrapped her fingers around his wrist without realizing it. He turned his hand and caught hers, just for a second. Then the impact hit hard enough to rattle the kitchen window. Metal screamed across pavement outside. A second crash followed. Eliza flinched toward the sound while Ethan moved instantly to the window. Did something come down? I thought they said impact. No, it was a car. A gray sedan had jumped halfway onto the curb across the street. Its front end crushed sideways into a parked delivery van, hard enough to shove the van partially onto the lawn of a brick duplex. Steam hissed upward from beneath the crumpled hood while one headlight flickered wildly against the wet morning pavement. People stood frozen in the intersection. Some still stared at their phones. People were standing in the road. Someone shouted, "Everybody thinks we're under attack." Sirens echoed somewhere in the distance. Ethan grabbed the car keys from the counter immediately. "Got it." She came back carrying a small red medical pouch while Ethan shoved his feet into shoes near the door. "You don't have shoes on," he said. Eliza glanced down. For half a second, absurdly, they both looked at her socks. Then she grabbed her shoes from beside the door and jammed them on. Better? Marginally. Then move. Outside, the driver's side door hung partially open. Smoke drifted through the shattered windshield. Car horns blared somewhere farther down the block while more apartment doors opened along the street. The television behind them continued speaking in the background. International monitoring agencies are expanding orbital tracking operations. Ethan killed the volume and followed Eliza into the hallway. Cold drizzle slapped him in the face the second they stepped outside. The woman inside the sedan looked dazed more than conscious. Blood ran down the side of her forehead while one arm bent sharply against the deployed airbag at an angle Ethan knew was wrong. "She's still in there!" somebody yelled unnecessarily. Ethan grabbed the damaged door with both hands and pulled. The metal groaned loudly before jerking open another few inches. The woman cried out weakly. "It's okay," Ethan said quickly. "We got you." He unhooked the seatbelt while Eliza dropped beside the open door, already pulling gloves on. "Easy," she said calmly. "Don't move your neck yet." The woman blinked rapidly. "I didn't see them." "It's all right," Eliza said. "No," the woman whispered shakily. "People were just standing there." Ethan carefully helped pull her free from the seat while Eliza stabilized the injured arm immediately. The woman screamed. "Sorry," Ethan muttered. "Shouldn't we wait for an ambulance?" Somebody nearby asked nervously. Ethan looked once toward the intersection. Traffic barely moved. Sirens. Gridlock. "No," he said. He slipped an arm beneath the woman's shoulders carefully. "We'll get her there faster ourselves." For a second, the noise around them narrowed. Just Eliza. In moments like this, Eliza became frighteningly focused. He opened the rear door. "Easy," he said. "We've got you." She nodded once. Together, they half carried the injured woman toward Ethan's car while the growing crowd continued arguing behind them. "Nobody knows what's happening," my brother said. "Another group's incoming." "That was confirmed? I don't know." And somewhere above the clouds and the growing panic spreading through the city, more grainy white markers continued appearing silently across radar displays around the world. Rain hammered the windshield hard enough to blur the traffic lights ahead into smeared red streaks across the glass. Ethan gripped the steering wheel tighter as Eliza pressed both hands against the injured woman's shoulder in the back seat, trying to slow the bleeding with a bundle of towels grabbed from somebody's trunk at the crash site. "Stay with me," Eliza said calmly. The woman nodded weakly through shallow breaths. "You said your name was Rachel, right?" Another small nod. "Good. Rachel, stay with me." Outside, Chicago had started coming apart in small, uneven ways. Traffic lights froze mid-cycle. Drivers leaned on useless horns. Pedestrians wandered between stalled vehicles staring at emergency alerts. Not panic yet, just thousands of ordinary routines colliding all at once. Emergency vehicles screamed somewhere nearby. Too many of them. Ethan checked the GPS route again, recalculating. "What's it doing?" Eliza asked without looking up. "Traffic rerouting. It already rerouted twice." "I know." The navigation map flickered briefly before correcting itself again. Street closures appeared across downtown faster than Ethan had ever seen before. An ambulance shot through the intersection against the light, then another, then another. The radio cut to static before the emergency alert tone interrupted every station. Temporary aviation disruptions reported across multiple regions. Emergency services experiencing high call volume, avoid non-essential travel. "Little late for that," Ethan muttered. Two blocks later, traffic stopped. Not slowed, stopped. Headlights stretched ahead through the rain in solid, unmoving rows. A soaked businessman pounded on Ethan's window. "Another accident ahead!" Truck jackknifed across the intersection. He wasn't even surprised. Ethan looked at Eliza. She was already checking Rachel's pulse. "We're not moving here," she said. He pulled hard onto the curb. Cold rain hit him the moment he stepped outside. Sirens overlapped from every direction. Half a block ahead, another intersection had become a knot of twisted metal, flashing lights, and frightened people trying to help before emergency crews could arrive. The city wasn't panicking. It was overwhelming itself. Ethan pushed into the crowd. Move. A trapped driver. Volunteers pulling on a crushed door. Someone shouting they couldn't get through to 911. Another crash somewhere beyond the rain. Not one accident anymore. A chain reaction. Eliza appeared beside him, gloves already on. Can you walk? The woman nodded. Good. Lean on me. A police officer finally forced his way through the crowd. We need this intersection clear. Good luck, someone answered. The officer didn't argue. He just kept moving. Ethan watched him disappear into the rain. How many accidents? The officer laughed once. Too many. That answer bothered Ethan more than the wreckage. Not because of the words, because he hadn't needed to think about it. Above them, helicopters circled unseen beyond the clouds. Ethan glanced once more at the emergency alert still glowing on his phone. There would be time to understand it later. Ethan, he looked up. Eliza was already climbing back into the car. We're only 3 blocks from the hospital. He slipped the phone into his pocket. I've got Rachel. He climbed behind the wheel. Let's go. Chapter 2. The Call. While most of the world was still reacting to the alert, Marcus Hale was already watching the system absorb the strain from an office overlooking Rotterdam Harbor. The Rotterdam expansion saves us 12% annually, the voice on the speakerphone said. Hale rolled the chipped coffee mug slowly between his fingers. World's greatest dad, the lettering had faded years ago. He stared out across the harbor and removes 3 days of recovery margin. A pause followed. That level of redundancy is unnecessary. Hale set the mug down beside a stack of shipping projections. Redundancy always looks unnecessary until the day you need it. Across the harbor, cranes moved against the morning light while cargo ships waited beyond the breakwater. On another screen, a storm system drifted across the North Atlantic shipping lanes. Marcus, the voice said carefully, the board wants optimization. Of course they did. Everybody wanted optimization. Margin costs money. Redundancy looked like waste. Modern systems had become too efficient to tolerate interruption. One delay became another. Soon everything downstream started shaking. Hale glanced at the scheduling projections again. Tight. Too tight. A soft knock interrupted the call. His assistant stepped into the doorway holding a tablet. Her expression had changed. Sir, she said carefully, you should see this. We'll continue this later, he said. The protest started immediately. Marcus, the board expects, he ended the call before the sentence finished. Only then did he look up. That was a habit he had developed years ago. Panic belonged to other people. What is it? She turned the wall screen on. The blue emergency broadcast frame filled the display. Multiple monitoring agencies confirming unidentified objects entering near Earth orbit. Hale watched the radar visualization without speaking. Dots appeared, then more. Who confirmed this? He asked. Several networks, she said. NASA issued a preliminary statement about 15 minutes ago. Preliminary? Yes. Hale leaned back. Outside his office windows, Rotterdam Harbor looked calm. Cargo cranes stood motionless along the docks. On the screen, the analyst continued speaking. Trajectory modeling still uncertain. His assistant shifted her weight. The markets have paused trading, she added. Air traffic control has issued several restrictions. Hale nodded once. That made sense. Fear moved faster than verification. He stood and walked closer to the screen. The satellite image switched to another feed. Black sky, bright white streaks. Several international systems are now reporting similar observations. How many? Hale asked. Early estimates say dozens. What about the defense networks? We're seeing public confirmations only so far, she said, but NORAD issued a tracking advisory. Hale looked back at the screen. More markers were appearing. Too many. Faster now. The phone on his desk buzzed. He ignored it. Another buzz followed. Hale lowered the television volume. What about radar? He asked. Multiple confirmations. Which systems? She checked the tablet in her hand. 3 public networks, 2 private satellite companies. Hale studied the radar frame again. Something about it felt wrong. His phone buzzed again. This time he picked it up. A message from a private contact channel. Seeing this? Hale typed back, yes. Not much. The reply came immediately. Real? He stepped closer to the screen. 2 radar feeds were running side by side. Small numbers sat in the corner of each frame. Timing markers. The timestamps didn't match. 4 seconds, but enough to bother him. Those networks were normally synchronized to the millisecond. The phone buzzed again. Real? Hale looked back at the radar. The analyst's voice had grown tighter. Tracking operations are expanding as additional monitoring networks confirm the observations. Hale watched the timestamps again. 4 seconds. Exactly the same offset every time. Too small to prove anything. Too precise to ignore. He picked up the phone and typed, "Don't know yet." The reply appeared almost instantly. If it's real, we're in trouble. If the data was correct, the world was already reacting. Another message appeared. What do you think? Hale turned back to the screen. But the timestamps never changed. 4 seconds, perfectly spaced. He set the phone down. Hale watched for another moment. Then he spoke quietly to the empty office. Either this is real, he paused, or someone just measured how long it takes to frighten the entire planet. He watched the timestamps one final time, 4 seconds, again. Hale waited for the anomaly to correct itself. They didn't. He nodded almost imperceptibly. The numbers don't lie. The data wasn't asking what he wanted to believe. It was asking what he intended to do next. He picked up the secure phone. Get Tanaka, now.